This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Sandra Smith, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, September 1st, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. There was a great hope that with the death of the Soviet Union, a proud and prosperous Russia could be born. But with the death of Mikhail Gorbachev, many wonder if it's only gotten worse.
Putin learns all those lessons, thanks to Yeltsin and Gorbachev, about how to rule his country ruthlessly. And that's what we're seeing today. Attacks on his own opposition, invasion of Georgia, invasion of Ukraine.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
The Soviet Union is just a memory, and its last leader, its general secretary, was Mikhail Gorbachev, a man who could see his own nation's failings, but who pursued peace with the world, even if it meant becoming unpopular at home.
I think he's an extraordinarily important historical figure.
Dan Hoffman was a CIA station chief who worked in Russia, and he's now a Fox News contributor. He tells us more about what went wrong after the fall of the USSR, and how a nation with a once bright star like Gorbachev is now under the rule of the very system he sought to eradicate.
The fact that he was born in the Soviet Union and still was able to show some measure of intellectual honesty and admit and expose both the failures of their command economy as well as the corruption of their political process, that's a pretty extraordinary thing for someone who grew up in that autocracy. Imagine that happening today in Kim Jong-un's North Korea or in Iran. Or in Russia today, or in China. It's just extraordinarily rare. So I met him in the 90s and found him to be absolutely fascinating. We had, you know, a few minutes of sidebar conversation in Russian. And I think he's got two legacies, as you alluded to. There's one in the West, you know, where he kind of dialed down the last days there of the Soviet evil empire and avoided nuclear catastrophe. He really, the most important thing that he did was not to resort to violence to keep the Soviet empire together. He repeatedly refused when he had opportunities to counter popular demonstrations in the Baltics and in Eastern Europe with violence. He didn't do it. That was his decision to make, and that wound down the Cold War when he did it. And the West, I think, holds him in the highest regard. Remember, he won a Nobel Peace Prize in 1990. But his legacy in Russia is much more complicated. For the KGB, which launched an unsuccessful coup against him, and remember, Vladimir Putin was part of that KGB, and Putin has said, as you highlighted, that the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. I mean, really? You couldn't come up with one that was worse? I could come up with a lot more things that are worse than that. In fact, that's not a catastrophe for us. It's a great, you know, positive development. But for the intelligence services, you know, this was a blow to them and a lesson learned that you cannot allow democracy and respect for human rights into your society that you seek to control, or else you're going to lose it. And that was a lesson that we saw that China took hold very, very early on. Remember how they suppressed the Tiananmen Square uprising? The Chinese learned that you've got to be ruthless about dealing with your own people. And so that's kind of, you know, the dual legacies, I think, that we see from Gorbachev. But at the end of the day, he failed in his primary mission, which was to reform the Soviet Union and keep it together. It just wasn't possible. And I think, you know, we can remember him for the positives and perhaps for his almost willful, naive approach to directing the affairs of the Soviet state. But honestly, I think we also have to consider his legacy in light of those with whom he engaged in the West, particularly Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who early on, the earliest of all, said we could do business with him. And then President Reagan, remember Reagan saying, you know, tear down the wall, Mr. Gorbachev, at the Brandenburg Gate. We had, you know, incredible arms control agreements that President Reagan's team negotiated. And then President George Herbert Walker Bush, who was there and skillfully managed, you know, the end of the Soviet Union. So it's a fascinating period. And it's a fascinating story. And it, you know, he lived to 91. When I was a college kid, he was appointed general secretary. And we all thought, well, there's the guy we're going to be seeing for the next 40 years. Right. Boy, were we wrong.
Let's compare his accomplishments to what has become of Russia today, because the surveillance state still exists. The corruption still exists. It never truly went away. There were so I remember when the Soviet Union fell, there was just such high hopes that we were going to find out of those ashes a true Eastern world counterpart to the United States, that it wouldn't be perfect, but it would have the ability to better itself, that it would have ideals as its goals. That never came to fruition. People might blame Boris Yeltsin more than they would blame Mikhail Gorbachev, but we ended up with Vladimir Putin, who really, through anyone's lenses, is a brutal, brutal man and a brutal, brutal. We don't even want to say leader. We want to say dictator. And it's obviously led into this this ongoing war, which is now 6 months plus in the making. But how did we get from the end of Gorbachev to where we are now? From your assessment.
So I think two things. First of all, you know, the Soviet Union collapsed and everything in Russia was collapsing in the 1990s, except for one thing, and that was Russia's intelligence services, the successors to the KGB, their foreign intelligence, the SVR, and their ruthless security police, the FSB, which Putin was, you know, he led it. He was the director of the FSB for a little over a year. They were running high-level penetrations of the U.S. government, Rick Ames and Robert Hansen. They were the ones surveilling everybody at the Moscow embassy in the 1990s. You talk to anybody who served in Moscow in the 90s, they'll tell you all kinds of crazy stories about massive surveillance coverage. And so that was business as usual. There was no change there. While Russian infrastructure, medical care, education, basic business, no law, there was no rule of law there. Everything is collapsing except these intelligence services. And they found a way to make it through what I would call a time of troubles, to use a Russian historical analogy there, while Boris Yeltsin was just unable to govern. He was typical of many populists. He was able to garner much support among the population. He was very, very powerful in his ability to counter the Gorbachev's narrative. He was Gorbachev's primary rival. He was one of the reasons, one of the shocks to the Soviet system and why it collapsed in the first place. But he was very ineffective at governing, although he was dealt a really bad hand. It's hard to take a failed command economy and turn it into something great. And what really hurt them was that people had rising expectations. And if you look over history at why revolutions happen, it's when people's expectations are rising and they're not met. Then go back to the French Revolution in 1789. That was definitely the case then. And so Russians had very high expectations and they were all let down. And we saw the financial crisis in 1998 that destroyed the value of the Russian ruble and sent low-income families and pensioners home with nothing, and people couldn't get food, and they all questioned whether this quote-unquote democratic system that Yeltsin had bequeathed to them was really worth it. And so there was an opportunity and an opening for a strongman like Vladimir Putin, and he took advantage. At the end of the day, it wasn't surprising, as I've said before, that from that ash heap of the Soviet, you know, evil collapse of the Soviet evil empire rises somebody from their intelligence services. And that's what we got. And Putin learns all those lessons, thanks to Yeltsin and Gorbachev, about how to rule his country ruthlessly. And that's what we're seeing today. Attacks on his own opposition, invasion of Georgia, invasion of Ukraine, cyber attacks, interfering in elections, bringing his asymmetric cloak and dagger espionage, you know, to the world with military operations from Africa to the Middle East. The last thing I'll say, and the most interesting to me, Russian history's got plenty of ironies and twists and things, but Gorbachev and Putin had the same mentor. The guy who brought Gorbachev to the forefront as general secretary was Yuri Andropov, the former head of the KGB. That was also Putin's guy. So they both derived inspiration from the same Soviet KGB director. It just took them in different paths.
We're speaking with former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman, now a Fox News contributor, here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Dan straight ahead.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
You mentioned rather poignantly there the use of attacking one's own enemies using the state security apparatus that Putin is so engaged in. But in the past couple of days or past week or so, we've seen attacks against his allies using some of the same tactics that his side has been accused of using, throwing people out of buildings and whatnot. Just this morning, the head of Lukoil was reportedly killed or somehow was found dead after falling out of a window again. There's something obviously going on. Is there any way to know who is doing this to Vladimir Putin's, to his allies, or even if they're not allies, but at least people who are not necessarily his enemies? And you know, who is sending a message, and what exactly would that message be?
So, look, I can tell you from the time that I've focused on Russia, which is a lot of years, and I will start by saying how much I love the place. You know, I love Russian literature and culture and language and music, and the food is great, too, although it's not super healthy. But I certainly don't have like a soft spot for their government or their intelligence services. But Russia is in a perpetual state of turmoil. And that's why it's such a fascinating place for our diplomats who serve there, for our intelligence officers who collect intelligence on what really is going on behind the scenes, because it's very opaque. You've got the murder of Daria Dugina recently, which that was intended, that car bomb certainly was intended for her father. Questions remain about who conducted that attack, who was behind it. The Lukoil senior executive, also like who jumps out of his own, you know, apartment building, right? So probably not an accident. So these are things that reflect Russia's inner turmoil. And again, there is no rule of law there. It's extraordinarily arbitrary. There's no respect for the rule of law like there is in our country. And that was drilled into them, you know, during the Soviet days. The Russian citizens learned a great deal of disrespect, you know, for their own government and disrespect for the rule of law. It was just not, you know, not something that they could rely on. So it really highlights the importance of us here in the West just tracking closely what's going on in Russia. And it requires intelligence collection to do it right.
Dan Hoffman, former CIA chief of staff and a Fox News contributor, thank you once again for joining us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.